Blog Talk Radio.
We've had the best football picks for a decade, and we ain't stopping now. Live from the IMLD home studios, in its 10th season, this is, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your host, Jay and Dre. Welcome in. It is all backups on deck, all hands on deck weekend for the wild card weekend, the super mega wild card football weekend, yay sports. Doesn't matter what your situation is, your quarterback, your second string quarterback, your third string quarterback, it's all hands on deck. You've got to get ready to go because it is playoff time and there is no tomorrow and every other cliche you can think of. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. We are here for you live on a Friday night, January the 13th, 2023. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and I'm not drunk. I'm just very full and tired. I just got back from dinner with my wife for her birthday, and much food was consumed and much fun was had. And now it's time to settle in and get ready to hear me stagger through 2 hours of football talk. But at least I sound better. Is that right, Jay?
You sound much better. First thing, well, happy birthday to your wife. We saw the pictures of your dinner, especially of the cake.
Oh my God.
Which looked like it was for a family of like six.
Right. I'm looking at that thing like, that's like a quarter of the whole cake.
Well,
I
couldn't tell if the cake was that big or the scoop of ice cream was that small, because if that was a regular size scoop of ice cream, that was like a whole cake.
I mean, it was a ginormous slice of cake. It wasn't the ice cream. I couldn't see over her. I couldn't see her face over the top of the slice of cake. That's how huge it was.
Wow. It looked like some good eating, though. So I'm glad you guys had a good time. And, you know, we're making these 10 p.m. Shows a habit. So I'll be excited when we get back to a 9 p.m. schedule. But it worked because doing the Friday show, I actually – you know, get home at 8. So I actually need a little bit of extra time to get all of my thoughts down on paper. But fortunately, only had to make 6 picks.
Yes, you would think that it would be very easy to be prepared for a show in which you only have to pick 6 games. And yet me and my paralysis by analysis, I can make I could sit here all week. If I didn't have to work, I could literally fill every day of the week trying to break down these games and figure out the statistical mathematical equation that points out the exact correct mismatch between the two teams. And, oh, that's it. That's the key. I have found the key to breaking down the game. Now, I usually don't find the key, but at least I give it a try.
Well, then the way I pick playoff games would infuriate you, because I've just had this thing where I've always picked playoff games where I just look at it and boom, boom, boom. Like I know.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. Even if I'm wrong, I know. And so my playoff picks, I've had these picks all week. I don't even know if I've waffled on these picks all week. I've been so ready to get to the playoffs. Got to be the closest we've been going into the playoffs in ages.
Yeah, probably. I would have to go back, but we
feels
are.
Like most years, you're 8-9 crazy, you know, it's like some crazy hill I have to climb during the playoffs. Yeah. This year I'm like 1 point behind you or something.
No hill to climb. Hopefully I did the math correctly, but I think you were one game behind for the season.
Yeah.
So
thanks to week 18.
Yes. Thank God for week 18, where I went 11-4 and you went 8-7. But we both beat the coin. Coin was only 7-8. So take that coin. Suck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We the man. We the Thank you.
I hate to, I don't want to break this to you, but if going 11-4 in week 18 gives you any confidence going into the playoffs, it's misplaced.
Look, it got me over 500 for the season. I'm thrilled.
No, what
that.
I mean is, that's, this is why we pick against the coin. it's so meaningless.
Yeah, it was a lot of games that shouldn't have gone my way, but did because of the randomness of week 18. Yes, I understand that. So for the season, putting me at 131-130, and you at 130-131. Which would have put you exactly 0.8 points behind me to start the playoffs, except I get the extra point thanks to winning the lock bonus. So that puts me 1.8 points ahead of you to start the playoffs, 101.4 to 99.6, and I am very glad, more glad maybe more than any season before, to have that extra point due to the locks. Usually I don't even have the extra point. Usually it's you winning the locks.
Yeah.
But I'm very glad to have that little bit of advantage. Especially going into this new scoring system that we're going to have.
Right. And I've erased some monster playoff deficits. So to me, it's like 2 points behind me feels like tied or better.
Right. It's basically, you know, gear up and let's go. It's almost heads up.
Right. Especially with the sort of de-emphasis that we have on this weekend. Although, I mean, as much as we want, because this is a one-point weekend, but that's still 6 points. So once you factor over to the point system, because of the weight of what a point means, basically 1 point in our playoff system is the equivalent of 3 or 4 regular season games.
Right. So
just because
it's a swing.
The percentages factoring more in the regular season versus now. So the switching to the point system, still these games, even with 1 point on the line, these games still have much more weight than they would if we were just picking regular season games.
That's right. So we're going to get to all of that. We're going to get the point system set up. We'll get to whatever couple of little rules or situations that are going to take place in the playoffs, because we definitely still have a potential neutral site situation for the conference title game. We thought we were going to possibly have a coin flip situation for a wild card game that did not wind up taking effect. Which means that the Bengals got fined for a coin flip celebration that was meaningless because we didn't have to have a coin flip, as it turned out, anyway. We'll get to all of that after we recap Week 18 and all of its glory and weirdness. Week 18 is always weird. This year, maybe even extra weird, more than normal. And I guess I'm the one that takes the honors to figure out all of this mess that happened. Being the person who won in Week 18 means I get to start us off to figure out what the best and the worst for Week 18 in the NFL was. And to me, the best in Week 18 is kind of obvious. Gotta go with the obvious sometimes. Look, Sean McDermott's sitting there crying on the sidelines. Jim Nance and Tony Romo were emotional. Their voices were all cracking. Josh Allen put his hands on his helmet like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. He was in disbelief. All for DeMar Hamlin, all the good praise and all the good feelings in Buffalo. Unbelievable that the first play of the game when the Bills resume action after the horrific DeMar Hamlin injury is Nyheim Hines, who wasn't even on the team, was an Indianapolis Colt when the season started, but gets dealt to Buffalo. Nyheim Hines takes the opening kickoff against the Patriots. All the way to the house, first play of the game, first play that the Bills get on the field since the DeMar Hamlin, and since the very first play, boom, kickoff to the house, touchdown, place going crazy, Orchard Park up for grabs, just unbelievable. It's a movie script. What a moment to watch it live. I'm sitting there in my wife's uncle's house watching it, and I could not believe what I was seeing. Just my mouth was just open. I was like, this did not just happen. Are you kidding me? Did this really just happen? Even if you have no dog in the fight, which I really don't, you know, I'm not a lifelong Bills fan or anything like that, but anybody watching that had to have felt something, like a little lump in your throat, or like, this is unbelievable. When they do the movie about DeMar Hamlin, this is going to be a prominent part of it. And it depends on how the playoffs play out. If they go on the run that a lot of people said they would anyway, because they're the best team, and go all the way and win the title, then that's what the movie will end with, is the Super Bowl championship. But if they do stumble again and fall short, then the movie will end with the comeback on the field after the week of anguish and the kickoff return for the touchdown, and everybody will be celebrating that. So clearly the best thing in Week 18, the emotional touchdown in Buffalo.
Yeah, and more positive news, apparently DeMar Hamlin's come out of the hospital.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So, He's out of the hospital. He went from Cincinnati to the Buffalo hospital. He has been released from the Buffalo hospital. I don't know what's going to happen. All I'm going to say is if he is there in any way, shape, or form, in a booth, you know, walking out onto the field.
Webcam.
I mean... What if the pop, I mean, we'll hear it where we are.
Yeah.
If that happens, I don't know if that's going to happen, but just knowing that he is, you know, he's alert, he's communicative, they're expecting, they're saying full recovery, which is amazing. You know, he's coming back from the dead to do this. You and I actually both have the exact same best of the week. So,
how could anyone have anything different?
Anything but. And if it wasn't good enough doing it once, Nyheim Hines did it twice.
Yeah.
The Patriots get back, claw their way back. They give them credit. They fought. They fought like hell for a good chunk of that game. And nothing was going to beat the Bills. You know, you were saying you don't know how they're going to come out, right? We don't know. It took all of 14 seconds to figure that out, how they were going to come out, and then the crowd going wild, and then the Patriots finally scratch and claw and fight and get that thing back to 3, and then Nyheim Hines runs back another one.
Right.
And that just popped
the
Patriots
time.
Balloon.
Here it is again.
Yeah, and that just ended the Patriots right there, and then the Bills went on to kind of roll them. Towards the end of the game, end up getting the cover on that one, the 12-point win. Nyheim Hines was the Zach Moss trade. He was the player they received in return for Zach Moss, and he has become a huge contributor, obviously, to them on special teams. Not so much in the offense or the passing game, but in the special teams area. Two kickoff returns for a touchdown in the game they needed to stay at that number two seed to possibly force a what sounds like would be AFC championship game if it ends up being Bills and Chiefs in Atlanta, which is the site now that has been agreed upon. Nice stadium, right? Neutral site, indoors, state-of-the-art facility. Nyheim Hines, you and I, 100%. Complete agreement. That's the best thing of the week.
Speaking
after
of race,
said so much bad about the previous week.
Speaking of rising from the dead, I'm going to glue this on to the best of the week, even though it has nothing to do with Nyheim Hines.
Oh,
but it has to do with NFL former Cleveland Browns Pro Bowl running back Peyton Hillis,
Madden cover.
Yeah.
Madden jinx.
Never take it away from him.
Almost dies trying to rescue his drowning family.
Yeah. And that was such a any wrestling fans, like, I got chills when I read that story, hair standing up on my neck, because it was so reminiscent of how former pro wrestler Shad Gaspard died. Part of the Crime Time tag team with JTG, not the original JTG, because you're the original JTG.
That's me.
That's right. But Shad Gaspard died the exact same way, saving his children from drowning, and he perishes himself. And Peyton Hillis was this close to doing the exact same thing,
yeah.
But has made a miraculous recovery, just like the Buffalo kid, DeMar Hamlin. And Peyton Hillis is turned around, and his prospects are looking a lot better. And his girlfriend says he's on the road to recovery. So great news for both of those guys, battling for our entertainment. One going down on the field and one going down off the field, but just great to hear that both of them are sort of rising from the dead and making a comeback.
Yeah. So, well, that's a nice positive way to start after what was basically, you know, after so much that we had to say and about all the DeMar Hamlin stuff from the week before and all the mess with the NFL, you know, it's like, hey, they got something right.
Yeah, the NFL got some good news through almost no credit of the NFL.
They did nothing
but,
right. I'm just saying
right.
that, you know, it self-corrected, I should say.
Pretty much. No, you're right. The Patriots were trying to fight, and they gave them a fight, but it was Bills Day. It was Buffalo Bills Day. It was movie of the week stuff. There's just nothing that they could do about that. And they're gonna win it for DeMar now. They maybe were gonna win it anyway, but if they win the whole thing, it's gonna be for DeMar, and the whole vibe is gonna carry him all the way through. There's no doubt about that. And the screenplay is being written as we speak. Somebody's making a shitload of money off of that.
And in a surprising, almost talk about miraculous turns of events, if the Bills make it through the Dolphins, which seems likely. Just saying. Sounds like they're getting Micah Hyde back.
Yeah, they right on the doorstep. It was looking like he might come back last week, but they're holding him back.
Yeah.
But
honestly,
yeah, he's on the road to recovery as well.
They're not going to need him this week.
sure shouldn't need him, yeah.
No. So after that high, time for the low. What was the worst of the week?
Hold on to the damn ball. Come on, Josh Dobbs. All you had to do.
Oh.
Hold on to the damn ball. Come on,
that
man.
That pressure, they dialed it up on him in the second half. Sorry, they did.
Well, the Titans were trying to put it away. They made it all the way, you know, 9 of the 10 steps of the way to glory, winning ugly as hell. Just a fingernail from uglying it up and taking that victory in Jacksonville and winning the AFC South. But Rayshon Jenkins comes in with the free blitz and causes the fumble, just barely a fumble by Josh Dobbs. He was this close to being able to sort of push that thing forward for like an incomplete pass.
But it was empty hand.
When you slow down the Zapruder film, the ball was already coming out before the thing went forward. So yeah, it was a fumble, just barely. But man, kid, that's his big break. He's been in the league for how many years? And that was, you know, his last couple of weeks were his first couple of starts, and this was it. This was your chance. And they were so close. It was the worst of the week to me, because the Titans outplayed the Jaguars, right? They out-hustled them. They outsmarted them. They had the stud rookie running back, Travis Etienne, 17 yards on 7 carries. They shut down the Jacksonville Jaguars. They did exactly what they had to do. They played ball control. They kept the thing away from the Jaguars. They went into Duval County, and they uglied that motherfucker up, and they should have won the game if that quarterback holds on to the damn football and doesn't let it go. They had every opportunity to earn their way to the division title, but the third string or second string, whatever quarterback you want to call them, messed it all up. That's just the worst to me, because you know that they're better than that. You know the Titans are better than being in the situation that they're in. You know they didn't have their starting quarterback. You know their backup quarterback was such a hot mess. They had to demote him, and that's why they had to move on to Dobbs. And yet still, Mike Vrabel and company put it together, put the game plan together, put the strategy together, and was the better team on the field last Saturday night. And that's always going to be the worst to me, when the better team loses, especially in that situation for a playoff spot. It's not like the Lions and the Packers, because I think the better team won that game, unfortunately, for my preseason pick. But in this situation, I think the Titans were the better team and found a way to fumble it away, and that always just sucks.
Yeah, you know, and realistically, I think the Jags fell into the trap that a lot of young teams fall into, is they showed up expecting to win.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think they expected that fight, yeah.
They believed they're – I mean, this is why we both had Titans in the number. We did not like that Jags minus 6.5, but everybody expected the Jags coming in off of all these wins to just roll this lame duck Titans team. Lost 6 in a row going into this. I think you and I were, you had them winning, I had them covering, but we were both on record saying that there's going to be a lot of fight in the Titans, and there was, and the Jags, all that magic that they had through that that winning streak, their offense sort of just evaporated. But it wasn't just that, as much as it was a very proud, well coached Titans team playing for their season. The sad part for the Titans was if they win any one of those previous 6 games, none of this matters.
That is all on them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If they take care of their business before this, they wouldn't have had to come to this. You're absolutely right.
No team that loses 6 out of their last 7 games deserves to go to the playoffs anyways.
There's an argument for that.
I know that stings you because this means that I got my pick and surprising pick and you didn't get yours. So I was hoping for us both.
They weren't the better team. I'm still bitter.
I'll tell you what the worst of the week was to me. They should just burn the tape. Just burn the tape, erase it from history of that Jets Dolphins game. The sad part is one of those teams made the playoffs. It doesn't get much worse than that. A field goal effort.
The other
no
team
touchdowns.
Was this close to making it.
No touchdowns in this game.
Yeah.
Five field goals and a safety is what we get. Although the safety is during Benny Hill time, at the end of the game, where they're tossing the ball around and then Elijah Moore fumbles it. And it's in the end zone and safety. Great. This game featured a 33 attempt, 149 yard passing effort from Joe Flacco, only to be outdone by a 31 attempt, 152 yard effort from Skylar Thompson. Good God.
Playoffs.
Miami did do more offensively. They were the better team on the field in the game, but it was just a crap fest from start to finish. So find the tape. It was the worst thing that happened that week. That was not playoff caliber football or teams that looked like they were fighting for a playoff spot. It was just bad.
Yeah, that's bad football. And like you said, one of those teams was actually in the playoff. If they expand any more than this, we're going to get into NBA territory where you got teams under 500 making the playoffs and not deserving it at all. This is close.
Well,
we
have one of those this year.
But is the quality of play that you've talked about is how the quality of play in the NFL. If it's not the top levels, if it's not the top upper echelon of teams, it's very questionable, to say the least. That game was why no one should gamble. I know we do a show about point spreads and gambling, but if you took if you took the Jets plus 3.5 as we did,
yeah.
And that play at the end of the game. Right.
Yeah.
What Scott Van Pelt called pitchy woo-woo when he go trying to throw it all around and looking like the Stanford band on the field and all that stuff. I'm going to wear out Danielle this week in our last regular season edition of giving out our awards. Because I got a few times where I'm going to use some Danielle.
What the game, 72-71.
That's one of them. That play
is a bad
at the
beat.
End of the game.
And
oh, my God.
I'm glad that we didn't disagree on that game. I'm kind
of
wishing I had
one
Dolphins
of us.
Now, but maybe I'm kind of wishing we did. but, yeah.
One of us would be lit up and stark raving mad over losing that over some bullshit.
Doing this a long time, but that'd be top 10.
Yeah. Just going all in, the Jets just fumbling into the end zone.
I mean, this is in a season where I beat you on that Chandler Jones. can't quite call it pick six, but.
Fumble. It's a fumble.
Yeah. I beat you on, I won a pick on that.
Turn around and launch it out of the stadium, and it's a fumble. Okay, whatever. Yeah, that was terrible. That was one of the all time worst bad beats. Yeah, I'm glad we did not differ on that one, and the coin actually didn't differ on that one either. So we all got fucked on that.
Oh,
all three.
Even the coin got busted up on that one. Good.
Yeah.
What was the smartest thing to you last week?
Oh. Hang on. Number one draft pick, baby.
Oof.
Let's go. All you got to do to get the number one pick is start Nathan Peterman.
And lose 10 games in a row.
Wait, Nathan Peterman wasn't bad enough.
The Bears. The Bears.
They pulled his ass out because he was, I guess he was maybe risking playing quality football by accident.
He was trying.
Whoa, you're trying to, dude, don't you understand why you're in there? You're in there to secure the number one overall pick for us. We got to get Tim Boyle in this game now, man. We sent you out there because we know you blow, yeah. And now you're trying. We gotta cinch this motherfucker. We got to make sure we don't have a chance in hell of winning this game against the Vikings. Get your ass out there, Tim Boyle. Let's completely blow this thing. The very first thing Boyle does is throw an INT. He knew the plan. He got the memo.
Well, also, Tim Boyle in limited action had as many completions to Bears as he did Vikings.
Because he knew the plan.
2 of 8 with 2 picks.
He knew what he was out there for. He knew.
Yeah.
Bear now, Chicago Bears. Congratulations to the Chicago Bears, number one overall pick. Congratulations to the Vikings, 13-4 and a negative plus minus on the year.
Which is really funny because, I mean, the Bears really didn't need that pick.
Well,
so, if you're a Bears
smart.
Fan, okay, if you are a Bears fan, they're holding somebody hostage here, right? I mean,
they better.
They're not picking somebody. They better not pick somebody at one. Somebody is going to lose their minds for a quarterback and offer the Bears a whole hell of a lot. They better take it.
They better. They better make the Houston Texans do what they did with San Francisco and give up all their shit to move up one spot so they can draft the quarterbackers. They better do the exact same thing.
In that position, though, it makes sense because – the Texans know somebody else is going to just, so it becomes a bidding war for that pick. If the Bears are like, no, we're content to pick somebody, man, we'll talk about wasting all that capital. I mean, if you're a team like Seattle sitting on 2 number one picks, I'd throw those both at the Bears.
And if you're the Bears, you go, okay, that's a good starting point. Keep going. Well, Come on.
I'm saying, I don't know where Seattle's picking, but they're picking pretty high. They got to be picking like 4 or 5.
I'm not sure at the moment.
They've got that Denver pick.
Right. Yeah, that's a good juicy pick. So throw that in and then throw a 2 from next year or something and keep going. Get as close to the Herschel Walker Hall as you possibly can. Just keep stockpiling high picks. And bring them all in and dump them on the Bears table and let the Bears sort it out. Very smart on Chicago's part. I have no idea if they were trying to put their worst possible team out on the field last Sunday, but I get the feeling they were on purpose and good on them. The smartest,
the name of the game, right?
Exactly. So the smartest in the NFL Week 18 to you.
Hey, I'll play it twice for you here.
Yeah!
You know what it is? No, it's it's not for the Bears.
Oh.
It's for me.
There you go, hurting yourself, patting yourself on the back again.
I'm pulling your move. I know you're sad because this is your move to give yourself the props, but I went back and listened to our AFC preview, our preview show, and you didn't really just outright laugh at me when I picked the Jaguars to go to the playoffs, but man, you let me know that you thought that was a dangerous pick, I should say. Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, you really gave me the side eye on that one. Doug Peterson, and I had it all laid out and all the things they're doing and the guys that are going to be impactful. And, you know, they did it. So
they did.
When we get them right, hey, we got to call it out, right? I don't think there are a whole lot of people out there in what we do that aren't in Duval County. I'm talking the rest of the country where they're not, you know, drinking, you know, whatever color that is uniform they wear, Kool-Aid. I don't think there were a lot of people out there that had the Jacksonville Jaguars making the playoffs this year.
No, they weren't. I'm sure I was reading the odds as I was doing that preview. So whatever that number was, it was pretty high.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just me.
So I don't want to belabor it or do any of that, but I got to say, it felt really good. Especially
great call.
going through the early part of the season, watching, you know, because some of their losses were so tough. I mean, a more veteran version of this team probably wins 11 games because they were just leaving some of these games out on the field. So to still finish 9-8, you know, come out of this with a winning record, everybody in the AFC winning record. I can't say that about the other conference. To get that home playoff game, to pull victory from the jaws of defeat the way they did against the Titans at the end of that game with that. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a more perfect push deflection forward out to Josh Allen, not the other Josh Allen, and showed off that speed, and he had to score. I had that weird sense, like, if the Jags did not get a defensive touchdown, their offense wasn't getting it in. The Titans had them just locked down that whole game, and Trevor Lawrence did not play a great game, and he was missing guys. So to get that defensive score, you know, talk about storybook. To get the defensive score at the basically 2.5-3 minute mark of the game to push them over, which then made, I tell you what, once they got the lead, I knew the Titans weren't coming back because they also had, the Jags had Dobbs on lockdown the whole second half of that game too. So wild finish, but it just put the little cherry on top of something that above the dream. I had the Jacksonville Jaguars dream all year, and they're playing playoff football. And let's also celebrate because the curse has been broken. Playing the first game tomorrow.
I know. I was shocked.
I mean, that is stunning. They actually put Chargers, Jags, which, by the way, is the better of the two games tomorrow. They actually gave that the primetime spot. When was the last time that we had an AFC South winner playing in prime time in the division round? I mean, in the wild card round.
I'd have to go back and look at that too, but it's been a while. Usually that 4:30 Eastern spot is theirs.
Yeah, I remember a whole lot of Saturday afternoon Texans, Titans. Yeah. All it's just that's their spot. So when that came out, I was like, whoa, they hate the Seahawks.
Zero respect for the Seahawks. Zero respect for whatever the drawing power ratings-wise could possibly be on Saturday night of Seahawks 49ers.
Smith Brock Purdy matchup. So I'm wondering here. I'm laying some solid odds that we may have the same stupidest of the week, but I will let you go first because you do go first. Oh, we don't. We don't have the same one. Good.
Okay. Dude, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback almost throw a pick six and come back the next play and throw it in the exact same spot. I don't think I've ever seen someone do that. He had the audacity to throw a near pick six to Kendall Fuller of the Potato Skins, and the very next play throw the exact same ball toward the exact same defender, the exact same out route that the cornerback broke on and took it to the house, and it was the same cornerback, Kendall Fuller. He's like, hey, I've seen this. I think
maybe
I saw this the last
play. He thought they were going to trick him.
He tricked himself. Dak tricked himself, and the Cowboys tricked themselves and turned in an absolutely horrible effort in Washington, losing their last game of the season. I've never seen that before. Just right to the guy,
that
right in his hands the first time, and came right back the next play, put it right back in his hands again. Like, man, you ain't gonna pick me again. I'm gonna throw this right. It picked him right off, right to the same spot, and takes it to the house. That was Washington bringing the effort for Chico in the last game. And I thought that might have been Chico's finale, but it looks like he got a deflector, gets to fire his OC, Scott Turner. So it looks like Chico be back next year. He'll survive one more year. But that whole dysfunctional situation in Washington, who knows?
How do you survive what you did that week before with the Carson Wentz thing? How do you make it through that? Because you're the Washingtons. That's
right. Because it's Dan Snyder and the whole damn organization is dysfunctional. Yeah. That's pretty much how.
They didn't just show up. I mean, they just creamed the Cowboys completely. The Cowboys playing for something just fell completely flat on their face.
Yeah, it started early. Brian Anger drops a punt that sets up Washington, and Sam Howell's very first throw of his career, Terry McLaurin for a touchdown, which is – very smart way to start your career is throwing to Terry McLaurin. I think that's a good move by the young man.
That's what Tyler Heinicke was doing, and Carson Wentz was not.
Yes. Which is
this
fine.
Is why the Washington
Washingtons on the bench.
Are on the couch.
it started bad and went and got worse for Dallas. That play was just, I could not friggin' believe
that.
Zach
doubled down.
Man, you ain't gonna do that again.
Watch this.
So what did I miss being the dumbest of the week of Dak?
I just was sure you were gonna give this to your boy, and this is your boy, Brandon Staley, for deciding he's gonna play his starters in a completely meaningless game. And he gets him hurt. He gets Mike Williams knocked out, done, broken back, it sounds like, or something not good. He's not playing tomorrow. He gets Nick Bosa hurt, or Joey, what are the Bosas? Which one is it?
Joey.
Is it Joey? That's Joey. He gets him hurt. Sounds like he'll be good to go tomorrow.
Had to do the mnemonic. Nick Bosa is the Niner. Nick the Niner. That's
Nick
how I
the
got
Niner.
That
okay.
Figured out.
Gets Bosa hurt. He's practiced, might play, who knows, maybe limited, I don't know. Gets Mike Williams hurt. That offense is completely different when they have both Allen and Williams. Now Williams is down. What are you doing? You're playing for
boy,
nothing.
Howdy.
So I thought you might go there, but then I realized that's your boy. You like the balls of steel of Brandon Staley, but out so well, and to cripple your team like that going into the wild card game when you didn't need to play any of these guys. God forbid you didn't get your quarterback who's been playing through an injury all year, get him hurt, or get any of your Eckler. All of these guys were at risk. There was zero reason to play any of them. And they're paying the price for it.
Why would you keep running your starters deep into a game that you had no playoff position changed at all? Why?
Yeah.
Why
and you lost you anyways.
That? And you lost the game anyway on top of that to the Denver Broncos, of all people. Maybe I was looking at it a little differently. Which is, so it's not that I didn't give him the dumb of the week because that's my guy. I just decided to look at it at a different angle, and that's my surprise of the week. I did give them an award for doing that. I was surprised to see, he's playing his starters in a game that they can't move off the seating? Why? What is he doing that for? I didn't know about the Mike Williams injury when I made that decision. I most of these awards I do give out later in the week, just out of laziness. I don't do it sitting there on Sunday when I should. That one I wrote down. That and the Dak thing I wrote down when it happened. Like, okay, that's the dumbest thing I've seen in a long time. And that's a surprise. Why is he playing these guys? What? And, even though they were locked into the 5 seed, Brandon Staley running his starters. Yeah. Ran them deep into that Clippers-Broncos game. Mike Williams, as you already said, suffered a needless back injury, broken bone in his back. And I definitely wrote down, we've seen that offense without him or without Keenan Allen, and it is way different. They are much less potent when one of those guys is missing, and that's what they're facing now tomorrow night in Duval. And that's all Saley's fault. That is very dumb. It's not like that's a wrong award. I guess I looked at it from a different angle because I was just before I saw any consequences, I was just like, what?
I get that. I could see, but what you were shocked at was the stupidity. So we're both right.
it was very stupid. Yes. So that's my surprise. So you get to double dip now.
So we doubled. Yeah. I'm giving my surprise of the week to Dr. Lamar Jackson.
Oh.
Who is apparently now self-diagnosing himself and posting his injury status on Twitter and actually listing himself as out of the game. Not only is he his agent, he's a doctor. And I've got the feeling that this – I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with this Lamar injury. Starting to think that he is playing the – I'm not going to get more hurt game going into this big contract negotiation with whichever team is going to end up getting his services by actually just going on Twitter and determining himself out of the game and giving us his medical diagnosis as the team is up in the air all week about who's actually going to play. Lamar just decides to go on Twitter and go, nah, it ain't me.
Wait a minute, are you...
The whole medical breakdown of it. So, thanks, Lamar.
Are you trying to tell me that you don't think an actual doctor told him that he has a grade 2 PCL strain that's a borderline grade 3?
I think if Lamar was in the middle of a 9-year, $280 million contract, he'd be playing this game. Just saying. We saw Philip Rivers play with like a torn Achilles. Remember that?
Philip Rivers is a freaking crazy person. So that's a little different. But he was completely hobbling around out there.
Right. And they almost won that game, by the way.
Sammy Watkins would want him to pull a Philip Rivers and hobble around out there.
But if you're in the middle of this type of, tense negotiation, who knows what you're going to be dealing with here. I'm getting a little for who for what coming out of the Lamar camp. Dr. Lamar. Just reading the tea leaves here, I could be totally wrong. I'm just saying, I've got that feeling that if they backed up the Brinks truck, he'd be playing this week.
This is just similar to the DeMar Hamlin, not exactly the same, not really close to the same, but the similarity is that we don't know exactly what's happening there.
Correct.
All we can do is speculate.
Speculation.
So I'll agree with you looking at it from the other side. I think if they had backed up the Brinks truck and Lamar was under contract, it's not that he would be necessarily out there on the field. I think it would be actual official team doctors telling us about grade 2 PCL sprain,
okay.
Borderline grade 3, not the player on Twitter.
Yeah, not Dr. Lamar on Twitter.
No, that's the first we've heard of that, and the team has said nothing to back him up. and that is smelly. That doesn't smell right at all. I don't know what's going on. Neither do you. Neither does anybody. But that is not how it goes. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
It raises the antenna, right? It's like, well, something's
not
right here. It
doesn't pass the smell test.
Correct. So that's my surprise of the week. I was surprised. I've never seen a player declare themselves injured and out on
before the
Twitter.
Team does.
Correct.
As the team keeps sending Coach Harbaugh out there to say that it's week to week and we don't quite know, but we're hoping he'll get out there.
I mean,
and the
okay,
player,
so Aaron Rodgers.
And the player says, "Nah, I'm not."
Aaron Rodgers played, what, 5 weeks with a broken thumb before anybody acknowledged? Could you imagine if it was 2 weeks into it and Rodgers is either on Twitter or he's on the Pat McAfee show and he just goes, oh, yeah, I broke my thumb.
If anyone would be culpable of doing something like that, it's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, but he didn't do that this time.
He didn't. But Lamar has shown he's got no fucks left to give at all this season. Calling out the fans, and we were already put right. It's everything.
Yeah.
That whole exchange he had with So, good luck, Lamar. I hope you get a good contract
from somewhere because it doesn't appear to be it's going to be with Baltimore. There's a major disconnect between the organization and the player.
Yeah, and that's a great organization. We highlight that all the time.
It is, but in this situation, there's something happening, and we don't know exactly what, but it appears to be a messy divorce, the beginnings of it anyway, because, again, you got to be on the same page with your team doctors when you come up with grade two into grade borderline grade three and all this stuff. Something
did he give himself the home test that. Or something? I mean, what are you doing?
He declared the severity.
He's on WebMD, looking it up. Oh, yeah,
man,
it's a grade two.
This seems like a grade two PCL sprain on the borderline of a grade three. What? It's fine that the Bengals destroyed the Ravens backups last week to set up this rematch this week. That's understandable and fine. But the Ravens are screwed because they're still not going to be able to start their actual starting quarterback this week. They couldn't start him last week, and they can't start him this week. It just depends on which backup they're going to go with. But either way, it's not their starter, so that puts them in a really, really ugly situation.
Yeah, I mean, the only good thing to come out of that game last week for the Ravens was that they scored 16 instead of the 11 that they had been averaging.
Well, that's progress.
I guess.
But they're in the same boat as Miami. They don't have their starting quarterback, so they don't really have a chance of winning this week.
Right. They don't have Kyle Shanahan as their coach to extract every last ounce of talent from them.
Correct. So my letdown of this week, well, we saw it Sunday night. That the pack was whack. I thought the pack was back.
That had to let you down just because that was your dream. Of getting a 9-8 Packer team into the playoffs.
There's a lot of letdown in that situation, not just Aaron Rodgers' play. It was to no one's surprise, the Lions came out and gave the Packers hell. We all knew that the ankle biters were going to do that. Credit to Aaron Glenn's defense for Detroit for again stiffening up when Green Bay crossed midfield, just like in the first game, first meeting that they had this season. While Green Bay let Detroit pass up a field goal in the fourth quarter in order to keep driving, and eventually they punch it in for the lead. So that's on the Packers. The Packers defense gave way. Everybody gave up the booty to Detroit and just let the Lions' effort override and overrule the day. Green Bay losing their cool with Quay Walker shoving a trainer this week of all weeks. Dude, are you serious?
I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't have that, but that I almost had that as my worst of the week.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And then Russell Douglas gets into a shoving match with a guy.
I lost you from there. I heard him click out when he did that. Did you mute yourself or did you disconnect?
I'm here.
Jay has left us for the moment.
Hello?
For the moment. Uh-oh. Hopefully he can back out and come back in or whatever happened to him.
Oh.
Yeah, that was not the best moment in Packers history there.
Okay, am I back now?
Yep, you're back.
Am I back?
I don't hear you if you are back.
Uh-oh. It's weird.
Let me mute you and try to bring you back again. Are you there?
Having all kinds of trouble.
I don't hear you. Might have to break it down and click back in. All right, now he's dropped and he'll try to get back up. I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I thought the Packers were going to make that run all the way to the playoffs. They made that long run from whatever record they were at, 5-8 or something like that, and then came all the way back. All right, Jay is trying to come up again.
Okay, right. Am I back now?
Are you there?
Yes.
Nope, I still don't hear anything. I don't know what happened to Jay. He was rolling right along, and I could hear him fine, and I heard the click, and away he went.
Okay. Nothing yet?
While Jay tries to get that connection figured out. Sometimes it's on my end, that my internet flashed and messed him up. I hope that isn't the case. I hope I'm still on the air. I was on my way to go look for the Packers record when they started this win streak that they went on. Are you back up? Nope, still don't hear anything.
Really strange.
The Packers are 4-7 when they had that wild brawl in Philly that they lost 40-33, and that put them at 4-8. But that let them know that they could actually score. So then they come back the next week, of course, at Chicago and beat the Bears because it's the Bears. So that started everything, 4-8, and everyone writing them off and telling them how they suck, and they go play the Bears, who Aaron Rodgers owns. And they got the ball rolling, and they went undefeated from there all the way up to week 18, where they were 8-8 and had their fate in their own hands. But it was not meant to be. The Lions brought the effort and brought the steadiness and the calmness. They didn't play with their hair on fire. They played very solid. They didn't even throw in too many crazy trick offensive plays. Ben Johnson, that OC.
Am I on?
Uh-oh. This is really messed up. Jay's mom messaged me on Facebook again, the only live listener we have, who we love very much. And she says she can hear us both, but I can't hear Jay all of a sudden.
Oh. Okay.
That makes no sense. Why did Jay fritz out where I can't hear him, but we can still be heard live? That I have no idea what to do about that. And I didn't touch anything on my end to take Jay out. So, but Jay isn't out. He's still up, but I can't hear him.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, because I'm talking
weird.
And you're talking. This is fun. It's like we're both talking on the same show.
Jay's mom called it Twilight Zone stuff, so I just happened to have that here. I'm playing the Twilight Zone drop, and I can't hear the Twilight Zone drop. So that's what's going on, is I can't hear anything on the show. I'm playing the Twilight Zone drop. I'm looking right at it, but I can't hear anything. Hang on, let me play another drop here. Nope, I played the That's So Raven drop, and I can't hear that either. Okay, something's wrong with me. I can't hear anything in the show, whether it's the soundboard or my co-host. I don't want to go out because I'm the host, and I don't think I can go out and come back in. So I'm not quite sure what to do. Jay is texting me to come in on the show as a guest, and maybe that will solve the problem. Smart idea, Jay. I wish I had thought of that.
You know, so I'm trying. So we can have this guy. I'm sitting here. I'm texting him. I forgot I'm still on the air. He can't hear me.
Come on, as a
yeah,
guest,
I actually
see, that
hear
solves
the drops.
Everything.
I actually hear the drops that he's playing, so that's fun. Still in the
that's
show
so
here.
That's so strange.
But
I don't know why.
This is great.
He just fritzed out in my ear. I heard the sound of him going out, but I thought that was him dropping, but it wasn't. It was my hearing of the show dropping.
This is one of those. I don't think we've ever had this happen before.
Log in as a guest, and I can't hear that either. Well,
both on the air.
What the hell's going on?
All right. Can you hear me now? You there?
Jay, I know you clicked me onto the show, but I can't. Wait. Hang on. I hear myself twice.
Yeah, I muted one of them.
Okay. I hear you now.
Hey,
but I'm
welcome back.
Thank you. But
we've both
now
been
I'm hearing myself twice.
You still are?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting, because I muted one of yours.
You muted the host part.
Yeah.
Well, let me bring that back up and then mute Dre. Okay, that's back up.
And now I hear you twice.
Okay, now I've muted the other Dre.
Okay. Do you hear me still?
I hear you twice and I hear myself twice, but
okay.
You only hear me once because I muted the other Dre.
Right, I hear you once, and then when you had them both open, I heard you twice. But hey, at least we can communicate. So the first time we've ever had this one happen, this is new.
All right, this is driving me nuts. I'm going to hang up Dre and see if I can stay on.
Okay.
Okay, can you
please
hear me?
Tell me, can you still hear me?
I can still hear you.
So what a weird situation there.
I don't know what the hell happened, but we got it together and figured it out.
You know, I'm glad because you told me that you couldn't hear me. I could actually hear the drops that you were playing, even though you couldn't.
And I couldn't hear a thing.
So we're back.
Well, I'm back. You never left, but
apparently I thought I wasn't in the show. And then I started talking, and it was funny because I'm talking, and then you're talking. And I'm...
Okay, I can hear that. Okay.
All right. We're back. Welcome back, everybody. Although
what
we've never
hell?
Left.
Right. Where the hell was I?
You were going on about the Packers letting you mm-hmm. down, man. Hey, what
yes.
I didn't get to say was got to give – I mean, really – give full credit to Dan Campbell. We don't talk about Dan Campbell and the Lions. You've been talking about their OC every week. Just pulling out the talking about balls of steel, some of the plays. They were really playing for nothing, but they give credit to the Lions for getting that team up an hour after they were eliminated from playoff contention. They could have rolled over. They could have been uninspired. I think they were more inspired. I loved the Dan Campbell either we're going to the playoffs or they're not. That's
right.
Great.
Yeah. I give him full credit, absolutely. I'm just not surprised at all. I expected that from him.
Right.
But, yes, absolutely full credit for getting that team on the same page and playing as hard as they did. I'm sure the Packers knew that was coming, too. They just didn't match it.
Yeah, it looked a lot like the first game.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was my letdown. Did you didn't get to yours, right?
I did not. And I mean, as we're going into the wild card weekend here, we're going into playoff football. What really lets me down is the Ravens and the Dolphins, because we have to watch like the corpse of those teams trying to play playoff football this weekend. And I mean, sure. Miracles can happen, but if we have to deal with Anthony Brown and Skylar Thompson as the starting quarterback, God! I mean, we already know that Tyler Huntley, as much as we've given him positive publicity on this show, can't get it done this year. Anthony Brown and Skylar Thompson could be your starting quarterbacks in playoff games. If this doesn't give you Matt Moore vibes or, who is that guy that Arizona threw out there? The sacrificial
was it
lamb?
McGloin?
No, that was the Raiders throughout Matt McGloin. and there's another one. And then, was one where Arizona threw out some buster, but these at least were backups. We're not even getting backups. We're getting third stringers now.
Right.
And that's a letdown to me because that kind of takes a little bit of the juice out of this weekend when it basically makes two out of the six games that we're going to have a hard watch.
Almost unwatchable, yes, I agree. As a shame for the Dolphins who put all that capital into the Tua-Mike McDaniel marriage and got them as far as they did for the first half of the season, first three quarters of the season, and then the concussions, and there's nothing you can do when you get those concussions to hit, and you get to the situation where clearly the guy can't be let on the field against everyone's judgment. They've been letting him on the field, and I hate to be Dr. Dre again, but he clearly appears to be, to me, someone who's got the type of brain that doesn't need to be playing in the NFL. He needs to just sit home and sell cars or sell insurance or do something else with his life
I'm certain he would have himself a TV gig pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
Sit at a desk, be a color commentator, do any of those things. Although, sitting at the desk, he might get concussed. I don't know. Just saying.
Jeez.
Camera zooms in too tight. Whack, boom, concussion.
Oh, man.
Don't.
Yeah, and then the Lamar thing, we've talked about that. Like, we don't exactly know what the hell's going on there. That might be somebody taking care of his money more than trying to get on the field. So we don't that's still the jury's still on that one. You're right. It's six wild card games and we should be all excited for it. But two of them, it's like, you just hope it's not a complete blowout is basically what you're hoping for now.
Yeah. We've had better wild card weekend slates, I think, than what we're up against this weekend, but at least it's playoff football. You know, at least we're not watching the Broncos and the Rams and the Texans. You know, there's a whole lot of teams I'm glad that we're not dealing with this weekend. So thank God for playoff football.
All we can do is hope that it doesn't devolve into that playoff that when I was up there visiting you that one year for our 30th birthday, the worst playoff game we've ever seen. We're sitting there watching together. It was Tampa and Washington, and it was just atrocious.
That was a bad game.
Terrible, terrible football.
And then I believe the game after that, was that when Carson Palmer got blowed up?
Oh, yeah, but they took the knee out.
Yeah, on the touchdown pass. After he threw the touchdown, long touchdown, was like a 70-yarder to Chad Johnson. And he got Kimo von Olhoffen on that play. And that was the moment Carson Palmer was retired. Nobody ever told him.
He didn't know. We all do.
Folks don't know. That's a long-standing gag on our show and in our picks of games. So that's a deep cut right there.
That was when we turned 30, and we just turned 47, so 17 years ago.
Man. Okay.
17 years. Whew.
Yikes. All right.
Joe.
Where's Joe?
Hang on.
Struggling.
Our show is struggling because of the fact that one of us sort of dropped halfway through but didn't. And I was looking around, but did I touch something? Did I hit? What happened? That was so odd. I guess some multiples for the Jeff Saturday. Are you with us? Are you still? And then Lovey and the Texans
struggling.
Because they won, but they lost.
They lost,
won, but they kind of lost.
I like how Lovie Smith says this week that was the biggest win of his Bears career. I mean, at least he's got a sense of humor about it.
That's great. I like that a lot.
Hey!
So, yeah, nice FU by Lovey to the Texans, who he knew they were going to fire
little
him.
Parting gift. Nice little parting gift.
Yeah, we're just going to throw the touchdowns and the two-point conversions, and we're going to win the game, and we're going to screw your number one pick. And a nice choke job by the Colts, again, by Jeff Saturday in his finale, as they led multiple Davis Mills desperation heaves get pulled in by Jordan Akins. So good on them. So they're definitely struggling. Houston was struggling even though they won the game. The Cleveland Browns were struggling because not only for the loss, but because their radio guy, the all-time quarterback Bernie Kosar, he had a little too much confidence that the Browns weren't going to be struggling and wound up costing himself everything, his job and a lot of money as well. Was it 18 or 19? Oh, yeah, because he was number 19. That's right. It was $19,000 that Bernie bet legally in Ohio on the Cleveland Browns to win their finale, which they did not do. And then he got fired for gambling on top of that. So that's about as struggling as you can.
Okay, you can't even gamble if you're the announcer.
No, nor should you. You want your announcers sitting up there with money on the game? Oh my God, this is terrible!
Wait a
minute, I'm gonna lose my house.
You're telling me Harry didn't ever have any money on the Cubs?
Oh, wait a second, Steve.
I mean, wasn't Steve? Wasn't he always giving Steve a hard time about the ponies?
Yeah, he was. Steve, you bet those ponies all the time. It's not
thank
an integrity.
Thank God we didn't have BetMGM or any of that back then.
Harry would have owned it. Are you kidding me?
He would have been on the ads.
Yeah, he would have been the top pitch guy, and then
Beer
he would have
man,
owned the
Bud Man, and then BetMGM.
Yep, Beer Bud and BetMGM all together would have been in the same ad. So it's not an integrity of the game situation, clearly, because it's just an announcer, but it's still a team employee sitting there betting on the team. No.
I whatever. Come on.
I don't think that's kosher. I understand why they did that.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's only one thing that I said after that 4th-and-20 heave into the end zone by by Davis Mills.
Are you
kidding me?
It's my general.
He's a general. He's been promoted.
He's back.
He just got another star.
That's right. He was defrocked, but they had to put him back.
He's a general again. He's been promoted.
They had to reinstall. That's right.
Davis Mills. A lot of Bears fans should be showing up to their games with Davis Mills and Jordan Akins jerseys because that heave, a 4th-and-20 heave, pretty much last play of the game type territory that gets caught in like triple coverage. I mean, just what? your boy Saturday's just, man, what a finish, man. Oh.
I'm just proud of our guys for the effort that they put forth. I'm just happy that we competed, man. After that one win that I had, and then we lost every single game, but I'm just glad we were out there.
Every game they kept losing in worse and worse and worse fashion.
Lose
to the Houston Texans on a 4th-and-20 desperation heave.
Yeah. Good job.
Wow,
and
that guy.
He's being considered to be the permanent head coach because God knows we need more of that.
I mean, you can be considered and not get it. So it's nice that they're thinking about that. But unless the Colts are playing for the number one pick next year, I mean, if the Colts are playing for the number one pick, yeah, sign him right now. I'm going to miss him when he's gone. Because this is a good bit we got going on with Jeff Saturday.
He's constant entertainment for people like us.
He has put together one of the most memorable 6-7 game runs as a head coach.
Oh my gosh. All time, just
the memories every week. What he's given us better than Bobby Petrino or Urban Meyer. I mean, after Nathaniel Hackett got canned, thank God we had just Saturday.
It's been a hell of a run, Jeff. But whatever you do from here, it's been a hell of a run.
Wow, man. I'm going to treasure this forever. I'm just soak it all up, man.
So that was your Danielle, but you didn't give us your...
Struggling.
I'll tell you what. I'm going off the field. Last week it was the NFL, and this week it's the NFL. And I'm going to die on this hill. NFL playoff seeding is the absolute worst. I do not believe for one second that just because you win your division, with the way that some of these crap divisions play out, that you are deserving of a home game. We should not have an 8-9 team hosting a 12-5 team this week at all. I've got no problem seeding by record. If you even want to seed by record and give the tiebreaker to a division winner, forget even head-to-head, that's fine. If you won your division and you have 10 wins, you'll get home field over anybody else who's got 10 wins. But you should not have 8 wins or 9. Even the Jags at 9-8, they should not be hosting a playoff game, because there are two teams with 10 wins that are both on the road this week. And then in the NFC, it's even more egregious because we actually have the Bucks have the worst record of all of the playoff teams in the NFC. They have less wins than teams that didn't make the playoffs in the NFC. No way in hell that the Bucks should be in San Francisco tomorrow, getting their doors blown off by the 49ers. That's where they should be. But no, they're going to host the Cowboys. Probably the best landing spot they could have gotten. As an 8-9 team.
I think I feel the same that I've always felt about it, which is I certainly understand why it is that way, to give an actual point of victory or reward for a team that survive its division. It's not that team's fault that its division sucks and it happens to be at the top of it. But at the same time, I certainly hear and understand the complaints of people who say, why the hell is that team hosting a playoff game and they're under 500? That doesn't make any sense. Of course, I always have to mention and bring up one of the most incredible fan experiences watching at home of all time would not have happened if the division champion wasn't hosting, no matter what the record was, because to see Marshawn Lynch and the Beastquake that happened in Seattle, which they're hosting the Saints, who had a much better record than they did, but the 10-point underdog home dog Seahawks come through with the win in large part thanks to that run by Beast and
I jumped
pushing
off my
couch. People aside and yeah. I was probably screaming in my apartment back in
so was
Chicago.
Mike Mayock,
I certainly remember
one of the greatest calls you'll ever hear. After the after he stiff armed, was that Tracy Porter?
Yep, into the next
stiff armed. Yeah, he sent him to another plane of existence.
Yes.
Tracy Porter reappeared on the field about a month later. Jeff Saturday helped him up. Man, that was awesome, man.
Where the hell am I?
But yeah, the Mike Mayock, everything about. No, I get it. We wouldn't have had that moment. You laughed at me, I believe, when I said that the Seahawks were going to win that game.
I did. It's another one where I laughed and then got egg on my face.
Yeah, because I texted you. I know you were excited to get that text after that after the Beast Mode play. But yeah, I actually jumped off my. I don't have a lot of jump off my couch moments. That was one.
I'm sure
that was right
before I
the miracle in Minnesota with the Stephon Diggs. I jumped off my couch for that one.
I'm sure that was before I was enlightened enough to have my own cell phone. I'm pretty sure you called me for the.
I might have just to rub it in.
Yes. So yeah, I get both sides. I'm Mr. Split the difference and call it right down the middle with the home team getting the playoff game and not getting it. I understand both ways.
Yeah, but I'm going to die on that hill. I think that there's
– I know you are.
I don't like it because it's not a true bracket either, like you get in the NCAAs either, because after this round of the playoffs, it's all by seeding.
Yeah, it is.
Which is just ridiculous.
Which caused me a lot of discussion and angst and trying to explain things at work, because I'm running a bracket tournament at work for the playoffs.
Well,
and I had to.
You got to do it week by week.
No, I just said fill out your bracket. Some teams might not play the team that's next on the bracket. They might play another team. Don't worry about it. If you're whoever you pick to go through, if they win the next weekend, you'll get the points for that win too. Don't worry about it. Baltimore would play Kansas City if they won. They wouldn't play the other 2-3 or whatever. No, it wouldn't.
Right.
It would be a different team. But yeah, it was.
Baltimore would play Kansas City unless Miami wins.
And they'd be the lowest. Yeah. It was a long week. Let's put it that way.
I wonder what a Baltimore Miami parlay would win you tomorrow.
You
probably make more than the Mega Millions.
Which is like a billion and a half. The odds should be about that high for both of them.
Yeah. If you take a Baltimore Miami, let's say money line parlay,
should pay $679 million to one. Yes. So
not to give away a pick or anything.
Sure. So I gotta get to my Danielle to finish out the year because I got a few. I already did the I got three the hard way. I got that Dolphins cover. That was a Danielle. That Kansas City Chiefs snow globe play on Saturday night against the Raiders, that I'd never seen anything like that, where they're all circling around doing ring around the posy before they break the huddle and go into their positions. I'm sure the Raiders were looking at that and going, "What the hell? The hell are y'all doing?" So it's a play that really never happened, actually, because as it turned out, that touchdown was called back by penalty. So it kind of happened at the end of the first half, but it kind of didn't. But it was all over my Twitter. Twitter exploded when they did the snow globe thing. And I was like, what? I love Andy Reid. I love Eric Bieniemy. I love the creativity. But that was something straight out of pretty much like seventh grade peewee football.
Well, yeah, when they started doing all these crazy touchdown celebrations and they're basically playing kids games and they're doing like leapfrog and duck, duck, goose. I'm like, did these guys not mentally progress past the third grade?
That they're getting their inner kid,
getting
out of their system, I suppose. I guess. And then Sunday night comes, and one last Danielle. Lions running back Jamal Williams during his intro. Did you see that?
It was great.
Really? What? What are we doing?
Jackson.
Black flag, Kazakage, leader of the hidden village of the Dean.
What?
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Javorius Smoochie Wallace? Who is that?
That's what we're... I had to read on Twitter, of course, that was actually like a anime reference or something. I didn't understand it.
I was getting East West All-Stars vibes out of that.
That's exactly what I thought it was, too. I was like, okay, we've arrived. We finally got to that point because we've been leading up to that with these introductions every year. It gets closer and closer to the Key and Peele sketch. And it's,
well,
I thought
the,
we finally
the sketch
went over
was
the edge.
The sketch was a reaction to the stupid introductions.
Mm-hmm. And then, but now the introductions are coming closer to the actual Key and Peele.
Jamaris and Lamar, University of Middle Tennessee.
The Boyne Shower Handle. University of Southern Mississippi.
Tingle McCringleberry, Penn State University.
Le Carpetron Duke Marriott, Florida Atlantic University.
The Dinklage Morgan, University of South Florida.
Xmas Jackson Flaxen Waxen, California University of Pennsylvania.
See, I thought that's where we were finally. I think we're on our way to that. We're really getting the, because once you let someone do that, he's not saying his name. He's not saying who he is. He's not saying his school. He's not saying anything. Once you get to that level,
first flag, Kazakage, leader of the hidden village of the Dean.
And everybody else is like going, what the fuck? What did he just say? When you got to that, you might as well just go full Hingle McCringle Dingleberry.
Hingle McCringleberry,
where you are.
Man.
Yeah, so that's where we are. That was that. I had to end the year with the triple Danielle. That's exactly
one of
where
these
we
years.
Going
someone's
like
just
that.
Gonna go fudge.
Oh boy. Are we finished recapping? Do we got anything else?
No. Yeah, that was fun. Now we get to get into the playoffs. It'll be interesting giving these awards away next week because we're only picking from six games. So I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of, you know, what would we call it? Overlap.
Not overlap.
So it's okay though. Even when I thought we'd agree on ones, we still found things to differ on, which is good because it just tells you that we're looking at things sometimes in a different way.
And we'll certainly have a way to express our creativity and look at games in sort of a different manner. And hopefully that's what we provide on our show is a different viewpoint than what everybody else is giving. You can go to ESPN and find people that sound exactly the same, but you're going to find something a little different here.
Yeah. We tend to not have a lot of homerism or bias on this show. I mean, we have our rooting interest, but we don't get blinded by it.
We certainly try not to. It's really hard to do that.
Well, neither one of us have any of our teams aren't playing in the playoffs either. So,
yeah, exactly. And the only other thing I want to say about Week 18, man, Seahawks, that was gift wrap. I'm sorry, BS roughing a punter call gave him an extra drive. Arm punt by Baker Mayfield gave Seattle the possession for the overtime field goal. Terrible interception. That whole playoff that was just a complete gift for the Seahawks.
I almost feel like we've been robbed of this Lions team now being in the playoffs.
I would have liked to see them or the Packers, either one, over the Seahawks. Yeah. That's just me.
I mean, I don't know if the Lions would have gone to San Francisco and fared much better. That Seattle is about to, but we'll see. Don't want to give away a pick or anything.
We'll give away all of our picks for the wild card round coming up in a couple of minutes. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website. Or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason's on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you can get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and go through our archives or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me and is solely performed for our entertainment as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. Wildcard Weekend is about to start in the NFL. We covered one slight variation to the playoffs that the Bills and Chiefs, if they do happen to meet up in the conference title game, that game would take place in Atlanta, as Jason mentioned, the beautiful Dome Stadium in Atlanta. This is after reportedly they asked Indianapolis and Jim Irsay said, nah, don't feel like it. So, okay. So that's settled. That's part of the situation that arose when there were a lack of finality to the season with the Bills having one less game.
They couldn't get Indy because Jeff Saturday is probably still standing at midfield just taking it all in.
Man, I don't want to leave. This has been a dream come true, man. I do not want to leave right now. I know I got a family at home and everything, but I just want to stay in here and enjoy it, man. I just thank God. I'm just so blessed. And we get a new NFL rule for the overtime in the playoffs this year.
Is this the Josh Allen rule now?
This is the Josh Allen rule. One possession mandatory for each team in overtime, no matter what the result of that first possession is. If it's a touchdown, the other team still gets a chance to match no matter what. So one possession mandatory. We cannot have the great Josh Allen have that playoff game that he had where the last thing he did on the field was throw a touchdown to win the game. And then he turns out to be the loser. So that's their attempt to have that not happen again. And you know what? I understand that too. As far as our scoring system, we have the new system in place. It is indeed one point for the wild card and then three next week for the divisional round, five for the conference finals, and 8 big points for the Super Bowl.
Ah, okay. So it's 1-3-5-8.
That's what you told me.
You pulled the tape or?
Yeah. I went back and listened. So that's what we're going with. And that makes it a lot more points on the line as the playoffs go forward. So should be fun. Should be interesting. So ready to get going.
Yeah, this is great. Anything that makes this more interesting and exciting and, you know, and you can get some big swings. It makes the big games really matter.
That's right. So starting with the little games this weekend in the wild card. They're all rematches of this season, which is interesting as well. All six games, the teams played each other earlier in the year. Obviously, the Seahawks and the 49ers getting started tomorrow have played each other. They are division rivals. Niners swept the Seahawks this season. Seahawks at 9-8, San Francisco at 13-4. Week two, interesting. San Fran swept, but they did it in many different ways. Week two, they started Trey Lance. He got that gruesome ankle injury. Jimmy G to the rescue. And the Niners wind up winning 27-7. The only Seattle points were off a blocked field goal. So basically the defense shut the Seahawks out in that one. Week 15, Thursday night, Jimmy G's already done. Brock Purdy to the rescue. And the Seahawks win, or the 49ers win 21-13. Brock Purdy throws two touchdowns to George Kittle despite an oblique injury. So he's already fighting injuries off and still managing to beat the Seahawks. Geno Smith managed a touchdown pass in that game, but he had little protection. He had three sacks in that game. So the defense, again, to the rescue for the 49ers. In this one, it is, again, Brock Purdy, the starter, and Geno Smith for the Seahawks. Seahawks, of course, the big underdog in this one, as they should be. They are plus 9.5 at the Niners.
Yeah, we don't thank God we don't do locks. I would want to lock up so many games this weekend, and this would be the first of the ones I'd want to lock up. The playoffs is just a completely different animal, and the Seahawks have been a nice story, better story in the first half of the season. They really struggled and limped along in the second half. I mean, they got it back together, you know, good for them. They held it together. Geno Smith had that sort of meteoric start and then started to crater in the second, maybe third quarter or so of the season. They, I guess, pulled it together to win their last two, that kind of stunning win over the Jets, where the Jets just completely fell apart and crapped the bed when we thought the Jets were primed to go up there and get a playoff spot. And then that one against the Rams was, yeah, you were right. That game was a little gifty. There was a little ref ball going on in that game. So maybe Seattle really shouldn't be here at all. I don't care. I mean, the Niners and that the coaching, the players, they're healthy. They've got Debo back. They've got McCaffrey. I think they've kept him fairly rested and ready to go. They've won 10 games in a row. They're gonna just scheme the Seahawks completely out of the building. The defense is probably the best in the NFL over the whole span of the season. I think the Niners are rolling. Niners squish, and it's not enough.
one of our favorite comparison points. We got a lot of stats. I tried to paralysis by analysis myself this week again.
Good.
But I won't read all the stats to you that I was looking up. But what the one that I saw that we usually go lean on, hey, it's real simple. How do these teams do points-wise during the season? What's their plus-minus? How many more points are they better than their opposition? And the Seahawks are plus 6 on the year, which is actually fitting for a 9-8 team. So that actually makes sense. And
better than a 13-win team.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. And 49ers are plus 173
Man.
On the season.
Man.
Which makes sense for a 13-4 team. So that all ties together. Seattle 4-4 on the road this year, and the Niners 8-1. Still not quite sure how Seattle got in to the playoff. They're just trending down in pretty much all the phases, and San Francisco is streaking. They are red hot and haven't lost in a couple months. Seattle isn't wearing down San Fran on the ground, right? Niners are the number 2 rush defense in football.
Right.
So their only path to a win, I think, would be a showcase effort out of Geno and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And I don't think they have quite that much of a connection, if that makes sense. Like they it's not like they were putting together aerial shows all year. Geno had his career year. I understand that. The best year as a quarterback you could possibly imagine. They wrote him off, but he didn't write back. And that's absolutely correct. But it's not like him and Tyler and DK were just at the top of the highlight shows every single week. They did okay as a group, but I don't think they have that much of a connection to, you know, will this game away from Kyle Shanahan and all the weapons that the 49ers possess and all of that firepower. PFF podcast, Pro Football Focus podcast, gave me that nugget of another stat that we like to lean on sometimes. Project led the league. Turnover worthy throws out of the quarterback. Here's the difference. Project can make up for that. He can make some plays on his own and figure out how to make up for some of his mistakes. Number 2 in the league in turnover-worthy throws, oh, God, Geno Smith. It's still there. He had some
Geno.
Of those throws. He's still, oh, God, Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Best year ever for Geno, but still has those tendencies and just doesn't have enough of the other side of the great plays and the great throws. He did for the first half of the year, but certainly not in the second half. I'm very curious to see what Kyle Shanahan shows in this third go around. When you see a team 3 times, he pulled out Jimmy G the first time, he pulled out Brock and George Kittle the second time. What is he going to pull out tomorrow? It's going to be different. I don't know what, but it's going to be something that the Seahawks aren't prepared for. The old guard Pete Carroll loosened up a bit this year, got the offense into the postseason. Now it's time for the young lion, Kyle Shanahan, to put him down.
Yeah.
So it's going to be ugly, and I concur and take the Niners squish.
And you kind of glossed through one of the things that I wanted to point out. If you look at the sort of rise and fall this year, or more of so like the ebb and flow of Geno Smith's season, Geno Smith's great games are so heavily tied to their running game. So when Rashad Penny was right, and then in those games when Kenneth Walker was just a monster, the Seattle offense looked great and Geno Smith was lighting it up. When it's all on Geno, that's when you get, oh, God, Geno Smith time. And Kenneth Walker and DJ, those guys aren't going to get it done against the Niners. It's all going to be Geno Smith. He might throw 4 picks tomorrow.
Mm.
It's
going to
be a long
surprised.
Day. It's going to be a long day for the Seahawks.
So who do you see as your X factor in this game?
I'm going with our guy. Talanoa Hufanga.
There you go.
Back there at the safety position. He's going to wreck the running game. He's sort of playing that, I hate to say it, but it's like that Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu. He's kind of given me that vibe where he can play the line, he can go after the quarterback, and then he's always around the ball. I think he's going to wreck
That's
it tomorrow.
Lofty praise.
I'm just saying, I think he's got that potential.
Okay. That is putting him on quite the platform right there.
Just, he reminds me of that inside, outside, you know, can play up front and in back. Not a lot of safeties can do that.
Yeah, I get it. Where you look up 20 yards down the field and go, how'd he get over there? I thought he was over. Wait a minute. How'd he get?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, or when we talk about, oh, God, who's the kid from Jamal Adams, right? Same thing. Like
11 Jamal Adams
on the field. There's 11 Jamal Adams on the field. That's how it always kind of felt. It feels like every time the Niners are wrecking something, there's Hufanga.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good one. That is my guy. For Seattle, another backdoor way to try to take control of the game is take down the running game of the 49ers, try to control that. I'll say an X factor would be if Seattle can get some great play out of their big defensive tackle, Puna Ford, 4-plus tackles for loss each of the last 4 years. If he can disrupt things up front, then it might be Purdy time. They might have Brock Purdy in some third and longs. That might be a way to possibly disrupt things and for the Seahawks to hang around in there. It's possible. I'm just saying it's possible.
Like anything could happen.
That's right.
Who's Brock Purdy's backup? Do we even know?
I have no friggin' idea.
I mean, I'm just saying, if Brock Purdy, let's just, God forbid, if he were to go down.
As I run quickly to the
Josh
depth chart.
Josh Johnson.
Oh, the old man Josh Johnson. That's right.
Yeah, there you go. Josh Johnson.
And you know what? He'd be good.
He'd actually be fine.
Doesn't matter who you put back there, it would work out. All right, I make you go first in every pick this year. I'll take this one. Clippers, Jaguars, Los Angeles. Oh boy, with Mike Williams on the shelf, man, what a terrible loss that is for them. 10-7 on the year, 5-4 on the road, +7 on the season points wise, plus minus. Visiting the division champion 9-8 Jaguars, but 5-2 at home. Only two of those eight losses were in Jacksonville. Strange things happened down there in the upside down in Duval County. Jags are +54 on the year despite being 9-8. So there's a little hidden nugget of how dominant they can be, how good they actually can be when they have everything clicking the right way. LA is still at this moment in this free wager line contest that I do. They're still the favorite, -2.5. And I actually thought that line might change with the news today of Mike Williams being out with a broken bone in his back because.
Yeah, that's funny. Cause when I actually, it's still 2.5.
Yeah. I thought it would change. Because of how important Mike Williams and Keenan Allen is to that Chargers offense, because it's so much different when they're down
right.
And they're trying to use those two kids, Carter and Palmer, and trying to use them as ones, and they are not ones. They are threes at best, as far as I'm concerned.
Josh Palmer and DeAndre Carter are not scaring anybody.
I wouldn't think they are.
I mean, I hate to say it, but when Keenan Allen is the only guy up or when Mike Williams was the only guy up, it really made Gerald Everett the number two. Or
yeah,
Austin
because
Eckler.
He's
a... Austin Eckler becomes so much more into the passing game too then.
They are both more consistent and more trustworthy to throw passes to than either one of those two kids, that's for sure. This is a rematch of week three. When the Jaguars once again got some injury luck and went to SoFi and beat the hell out of the Chargers 38-10, Keenan Allen did not play. He had a hamstring injury. And on top of that, this was the very next game after Kansas City busted up Justin Herbert's ribs. So he, as we saw for the next month and a half after that, wasn't right. Wasn't throwing the ball downfield hardly at all. The Jags just came in and routed him. Three TD throws for Trevor Lawrence, 151 yards on the ground for the Jaguars. They dominated in every phase of that game, but that was a very, very long time ago. Then this one, hey, Herbert has recovered. He's been playing much, much better this last month. So the passing game has been trending up, or was before Brandon Staley decided to send Mike Williams out there. What the hell? Hello?
Yeah?
I completely left again. In my ears, this time it was me that faded out.
Oh.
But I think that was a headphone issue because now I'm back.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
I'm still here.
You never left. You still have never left. You've been here the whole time. So anyway, in this one, it's two franchises. What interested me coming in before the Mike Williams news was it's two franchises bereft of playoff experience and which team's going to figure it out first. Because neither one of these teams neither one of them has been here before. This thing tomorrow night is going to be electric. I mean, the Jaguars kind of went there last week. That was basically a playoff game. So technically they kind of have more experience in a playoff atmosphere than the Chargers do. But it's not the Jags defense of 5 years ago, but it's a real good defense that the Jaguars are rolling out there. They can control the game. LA protection is an issue, has always been an issue protecting Justin Herbert. They've allowed 39 sacks this year. Jags are getting pressure. 25.1% is not too many teams getting pressure at that high a rate. And then on the other side, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa trying to get pressure and lead the Bolts and try to shut down Trevor Lawrence. So it's going to be compelling. It's an evenly matched game. The 2.5 line is pretty accurate, but I think now with that news, that should be flipped. It should be the Jags as the favorite. I may have leaned Clippers before the Mike Williams injury, but they're just not the same offense. We saw that. They're just not the same. I have to go Jags here.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to concur. Of course, I got to have the Jaguars, right? No.
You got your team.
No, and I'll tell you what, we didn't talk about this, and I'll give you my this might be a first ever for me, because I'm going to give you my X factor right now.
Okay.
It's your guy. It's Brandon Staley. It's the coach. We know that this guy is just sort of maniacal managing these games to the point where when he actually coached a football game, like the way you're supposed to, you had to call him out on the show and give him smartest of the week for not just being a complete moron and leaving points on the field. No, he actually managed to win the game, and it was crazy. Like, what's Brandon Staley doing? He's just go for it guy. I mean, because when you really break it down, if they both don't have playoff experience, Herbert's first game, Lawrence's first game, you know, a lot of these guys, the Jags are very young. But I'm giving the edge to Doug Peterson, that this is a Super Bowl winning coach. I don't think he's going to lose his marbles in this game the way I think that Brandon Staley could. And, you know, going for it in his own territory and passing up, leaving points on the field that could come back to bite you later. All of the things that I have railed against on this show for the last couple of years about Brandon Staley could all come to a very ugly head in this game tomorrow. So I, of course, am going to concur with you and take the Jags because I just don't trust that coach, which means who's your X factor?
Staley being an X factor is really smart because he could surprise you and everybody else and look at his, you know, offensive output without Mike Williams and say, I can't go for it on fourth down. What? To who? For who? For
yeah,
what?
To me, that's the wild card in this game. No pun intended.
No, I get it. The aforementioned DeAndre Carter is my X factor because he's a returner as well as a receiver, three receiving touchdowns this year. He's got to step up in Mike Williams' absence. Him, Josh Palmer, they got to get some production out of somebody else. If they have any chance of winning them, they cannot rely on Keenan Allen going 15 catches for 200 yards, which he could do in his prime, but his prime is a little bit past him. And besides that, the Jaguars are smart enough to sit on him and make Justin Herbert go somewhere else. And until Justin Herbert proves he can reliably and consistently go in another direction, I think the Jaguars are just going to smother Keenan Allen. So one of these other kids has got to step up.
All right. Well, that we're 2 for 2.
We are. Let's move on to Sunday and see how that shakes out. Oh, Dolphins, Bills. Oh, boy. So
we pick them all. Oh, wait, I can't say that in the playoffs.
we pick them all, playoffs or not. It will be apparently, Scott, again, for the second week in a row, it's going to be Skylar Thompson, even though Teddy Bridgewater will be the backup. He's healthy enough to be the backup,
yeah,
but he can't really throw deep.
They said he can't throw
injury.
The ball more than 20 yards.
Which makes him a hell of a backup quarterback, doesn't it?
Makes him better than Skylar Thompson.
Teddy
is
throwing
20. Is he going to throw it more than 20 yards?
to the other team, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
So it will be Skylar for the Dolphins. It will not be Tua. We don't know when or if Tua is coming back. The Dolphins have major injury issues besides that. It's not bad enough that their Pro Bowl quarterback is not, well, he didn't make the Pro Bowl. He made the Pro Bowl. He won the Pro Bowl vote, but he did not make
votes.
The Pro Bowl.
Right.
Oh, boy.
I still believe he will be too concussed to play flag football.
You may be right about that. They don't have their left tackle, Teron Armstead. He's got everything beat up. They might have him. He's listed as questionable, but I've never seen an injury report quite like that. He's got like literally four different body parts listed on his injury report. So the thought of him playing is a very, very long shot. And their running back, Raheem Mostert, broke his thumb last week. So all sorts of issues for the Dolphins.
It just keeps getting better and better for these guys.
Just never ends.
Oh, and you get to go play the best team in football.
And you go get to play the team that's got DeMar Hamlin on their side and every kind of momentum
right.
you could possibly hope for. But, hey, the Bills lost Isaiah McKenzie to a hammy this week in practice. So there's hope, maybe.
Oh, that's it.
There it is. There's your hope.
It's over.
Miami 9-8, 3-6 on the road, -2 on the season. Bills 13-3, 6-1 at home, +169 on the season.
Yeah.
No surprise. Biggest spread of the week, Dolphins +13.5 at the Bills.
You know, it's good. I picked this at 14, so I get a half a point in my favor. I'm giving them all. I know that the amount, the volume of points here is always scary, but we talk about it with the Bills. It's what level of motivation. I don't care who their opponent is. This is the playoffs now. Everything else that happened this season for the Bills in the regular season, none of it mattered. If they slept walk through games, once they went on this playoff mission, and now they're on this playoff mission with this whole DeMar Hamlin thing going with them too, and knowing how their season ended last year, and I think that this is Super Bowl or bust for the Buffalo Bills. I think they are absolutely going to destroy the Miami Dolphins and poor Skylar Thompson. I would not want to be him tomorrow. Not saying that they won't be able to move the ball and kind of like in fits and starts, but I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of field goals or a lot of having to go for it because of the pressure that the Bills are going to put on this very suspect Miami defense. This has got major blowout potential. I'm taking the Bills and giving the 2 touchdowns.
In week 3, the Dolphins somehow got outgained, outplayed, out everything in Miami.
It was 140 degrees on the field.
And yet the Bills players literally staggering and almost collapsing in the heat managed
right.
to succumb to the Dolphins 21-19. Miami sort of rope-a-doped them to sleep in that one.
That was also the game when Tua had no business coming back into that game, by the way.
He concussed his back in that game.
Yeah, he hurt his back.
He's staggering around, and they said it was because of his back. What? Okay.
Yeah.
In week 15, the Dolphins shocked the hell out of me by coming up to Buffalo and hanging with the Bills before losing 32-29. Very impressive effort by Miami and Tua in the Buffalo cold and snow. Tua showed growth as a quarterback to me in that game, but Josh Allen rose to the occasion, which he tends to do. 4 touchdown throws and 77 yards rushing. That's the most impressive thing to me about Project is he has shown himself to be someone that can win any game, any style you want. You want tough, slug it out, bad weather, rugged. He can win that way. You want aerial show up and down the field through the air. He can do that. There's literally no style of play that he can't do. And now he gets to do it against someone that's not Tua, which is just a complete gift to the Buffalo Bills. This should be a 3-touchdown squish, and it should be the start of the run for DeMar. The movie is being made, and the script is being written, and everything is – in the momentum in the area of Buffalo, everything's on their side. I will concur and give the 13.5.
Ah, all right. So,
and who's your X factor in this one?
I'll tell you what. When the Bills traded away Zach Moss for Nyheim Hines, who's now one of their big contributors on special teams, it was because James Cook Moore with the football, and he has moved himself into a real nice number two spot. He's active in the passing game. Him and Devin Singletary, there's really no big drop-off when either one of those guys have to go on or off the field. I'm watching James Cook, rookie, running back for the Buffalo Bills.
Dalvin's brother, I like him a lot. To me, all of the Miami special teams is the X factor in this one. Their coach, Danny Crossman, league worst, 27.8 kickoff return allowed average. Nyheim, rev it up. Get ready.
You might have three.
They need to contain Nyheim Hines, especially to open the game. If he runs another one back to open the game,
man,
they can just pack up and leave because it's over.
You know what the best part is? I bet you the Pats won the toss and deferred.
They did. I heard that. They absolutely did.
Oh, no.
The great special teams guru Bill Belichick deferred and watched that happen. Yes,
tell you what, Miami,
right.
If you win the toss, take the ball tomorrow.
And give it to Skylar Thompson?
Well, we'll just give it to Nyheim Hines and start off 7-0.
Worst of both worlds. You'd lose either way. The New York Giants in the afternoon Sunday will visit the Minnesota Vikings in a game that is 100% guaranteed to end in a field goal. It is the fraud bowl. They can't play to anything other than the field goal. It just depends on which side you're going to pick. The Giants or the Viking side. The Giants are 9-7-1. The Vikings are 13-4, and neither team finished above water in plus minus. Giants were -6. Vikings were -3. Unbelievable. Vikings were 8-1 at home and still finished underwater. How did they do that? And the Giants were 4-4 on the road. Vikings will be shorthanded in their defensive backfield. Cameron Dantzler is likely out with a personal issue. In this one, of course, the point spread is 3 because it has to be. There's no surprise there. Vikings are -3 at home. Vikings were -3 in Week 16 when they hosted the Giants, and they won by 3, 27-24.
They were 4.5-point favorites in that game, and we were both like, nope, this is a field goal game.
Oh, okay, you're right. They were.
We won that pick. So Vegas got wise.
He's like, wait a minute. Why did they make them a 4.5-point? They can only win by 3. They can only play to a 3-point game. They're at 4. It was 4 by the time we picked it, but yeah.
And we said it's a field goal. That's even better when we get
you're
that
right.
cute.
We both had the Giants. Yes. So the Fraud Bowl, the first time the two teams had racked up less than impressive W's, they faced off and it came down to a field goal. Greg Joseph from 61 to walk it off.
Jesus.
It was destined to be a field goal game. So the Giants, they must keep the pressure on Kirk Cousins or else Justin Jefferson is going to go nuts. So they know that. The key may be the explosive running backs because both those running backs can go off. They struggled to be consistent. Saquon Barkley sort of fell off as the season went on, but he had a great first half. And Dalvin Cook has been hot and cold all season. Guaranteed to finish within a field goal again. There's no doubt about that. It's just which way are you going to go, Giants or Minnesota? Here's one of your favorite stats. Only 49 missed tackles on the season for New York. That's actually really low, really good.
It is.
But that's going to force possibly Minnesota to rely more on Kirk Cousins to Justin Jefferson, which is a combination when they decide to hook up is pretty much unstoppable. You got to take one side or the other. It's going to be a field goal. I'm going to take Minnesota.
It'd be easier if there was a hook on this.
You're right, but there isn't. I'm going to take Minnesota and give it a 3. I don't have any real good reason why.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm actually taking the Giants and the 3.
Okay.
I actually don't think that the Giants are afraid of the Vikings, especially after going down there once were going up there once and having a good showing. They have an added element the Vikings don't have. They have a quarterback that can run to complement Saquon Barkley in the running game. And they've been competent with this group of receivers, which goes to my X factor, waiver wire pickup, Isaiah Hodgins, who has been extremely valuable to them here down the stretch. He has a touchdown in four of his last five games. His best game of the season, by the way, Christmas Eve in Minnesota, 8 for 89 and a tutty. I think that the Giants might actually win this game because, first of all, this is Kirk Cousins at 3:30, not at 1 o'clock or noon. So watch out for that,
night,
too.
It's not
night. It's not
prime time.
It's afternoon, but it's not that noon start. But, no, that's just a joke. But I'm going to take the Giants because, again, it's going to be a field goal. This game will probably just be a push anyways.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the Giants side of it because that Vikings defense is horrible.
Yeah, they are. I will look to a special teamer to possibly make the difference in this even matchup. Kene Nwangwu can run it back for the Vikings anytime. He's a great kick returner, 26.3 average kick returns this year. 3 career touchdowns. Don't be surprised if Kene Nwangwu breaks one off.
Okay. And then somehow in a 2-hour show with only 6 picks to make, we have 4 minutes left.
I can't believe we have 2 picks left and 3 minutes. How in the hell did we get? Well, we had connection issues. That played a big part.
We did. That cost us at least a good 5-10 minutes.
Yeah. So there is that much. But also, we are very long-winded. We are so long-winded, I would say give our picks for these 2 games and then just go back. Just so we can get them
online.
I'm
sure we can expand on it. Let's just give our picks and our X factors, and then we'll go.
And then expand as the after show goes.
Yeah.
Sunday night, Baltimore at Cincinnati. It is going to be Snoop Huntley at quarterback for Baltimore, and the Bengals 12-4 at home. Baltimore 10-7 on the road. Baltimore is the big dog plus 8.5 at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm giving them all. I've taken all 3 of the big favorites this weekend. I'm giving all of them with Cincinnati. My X factor, although taking Cincinnati, if they're going to do anything against them, Baltimore needs to get a pass rush. I'm going to JPP. Old Three Fingers himself is my X factor tomorrow.
The Bengals? Right, Sunday. The Bengals are have the talent advantage. They're great. I can't take anything away from them. I'm going to roll with the experience and the more disciplined team against the spread. I will take Snoop and the 8.5 and the Baltimore Ravens. And the pass rush getting to the beat-up Cincinnati O-line is a big key, and that's why my X factor is old Three Fingers JPP. We have the exact same X factor in that.
That's awesome.
That is unbelievable. And then the Monday nighter, the Cowboys and the Buccaneers, the sort of Frog Bowl 2 this weekend. 12-5 Dallas, 8-9 Tampa. Dallas is, of course, the favorite, minus 2.5 at Tampa.
I'm taking Tampa here. I expect Tommy to be in playoff mode. He's probably going to have 60 attempts. But this playoff Tommy and Mike Evans, these guys just – maybe the light really does just switch on for these guys. Who knows, like it did against Carolina. I'm going to take Tampa to win. I'm going with their scrappy rookie tight end, Kate Otten, is my X factor.
All right. There's only 2 teams playing this weekend, as I mentioned earlier, trying to tie this all in a bow, that are getting 25% pressure or higher, the Jags and the Cowboys. I suppose if it comes down to trust – Tommy over Dak would be the play, but I'm actually going to trust the Dallas defense more. That this version of Brady, who he can't play until the last 3 minutes of the damn game, that's great. It bit him. It should bite him this time. It didn't bite him in week 1 because Dak was the one that blew up in that first game. But in this one, I can't trust Tommy the way he's playing right now. I think Micah Parsons sits on his head. And I'm taking the Cowboys, giving the 2.5. And my X factor is the big man for Tampa in the middle, Vita Vea. Different run defense when he's out there. 7 tackles for loss was a career high, 6.5 sacks. a career high. He can make things difficult for the Cowboys running the ball in the middle.
All right. Sounds like we might be in the after show now.
We are.
So I didn't get to say it when I made the Tampa pick, but I'm doing the same thing. And since it's only 1 point right now, it's not even that costly. I'm just doing the reverse psychology. I'm picking Brady till he's gone.
There you go.
Because I want them gone. I want Tampa eliminated. They're 8-9. I want them out, but I actually have a really weird feeling like they're going to win this game. Because let's not forget, this is Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn.
That's why it was a tough pick, because I want both of them gone. Can both of them lose this game at the same time? I want the Cowboys and the Buccaneers off my TV.
Is Dak gonna do a quarterback sneak up the middle with time expiring?
Oh, God. We have no timeouts. What should we call? I don't know. The play that guarantees that the clock keeps running? Yeah. That's a good one.
Do that.
Yeah.
On two. Break.
Break. That's what it's so tough to trust the Cowboys, but I'm going to trust them more because Tommy is so inefficient and ineffective until the last 3 minutes of the damn game. So if they win,
those last 3 minutes of the game might be enough to put them over. And I get a couple of points here, even though I think Tampa's going to sneak this one out. I'll take a 2 point loss for Tampa. This feels like I think this is going to probably be, I hate to say it, the best, quote-unquote, best game, probably the most competitive game. I think the best game potential. I think Jags-Chargers has the best game potential because it's teams that we haven't seen. It's new, right? I like that.
Sure. Definitely a lack of experience, but lack of staleness too. But yeah, differentiate between best game of the week and best TV because it's not always the same.
Yeah, I think that Jags-Clippers game could be wild. I it could be a back-and-forth, exciting game. I think this Dallas-Tampa game is just going to make – it'll be good in a respect that it's close, but we're probably going to have barf bags next to us for the whole game.
I was going sort of the other way. I think Dallas-Tampa might be the best TV, even though it won't be the best quality of football.
So it might be the best, drama.
Right. Yeah, you can't turn it off because you're like, what is going on out here? I can't look away. Like a car crash.
Yeah. Tommy does not take sacks, though. I think he's the least sacked starting quarterback in the league.
He's definitely getting rid of the ball quicker than any other quarterback. He's like, get this thing out of my hand.
So, that's why I went with the tight end. I think the easiest way to neutralize that pass rush is just, two-step out.
Snap and throw it. Sure.
Yeah. He'll throw the ball, doesn't even get it on the laces. He'll throw it cold like that. But, he's the S-goat.
I think Dan Quinn would love if he kept doing that and trying to get it out quick because he's got that gambling defense that'll jump in front of those balls.
And that's what you got to do against Brady. What they got to do is they got to clog up those quick passing lanes. If they can do that, drop some coverage instead of trying to blitz. That's where I think that's going to be the chess match in the game. Are you just going to flood the passing lanes and not get blitz happy? Because if they blitz Brady, it's over. Tampa's going to win.
I don't think they'll blitz him too much, but I think the other chess game is, will Tommy get together with Byron Leftwich and figure out some sluggos, some play action, some play fakes, and some pump and goes? Because those guys jump everything. Man, I've never seen a cornerback that falls for the fakes and jumps for it like Trayvon Diggs does. He gets faked out of his shoes.
He's Marcus
every
Peters.
Time.
He's modern day. He's new. He's the new Marcus Peters. It's a pick six or it's all right. It's almost scoring a touchdown on this play.
Either you or me. One of us is scoring. I'm going to jump this ball and go to the house, or I'm jumping air and you're wide open. One or the other.
That's it. That's you target Trayvon Diggs. Someone's going to the house.
So, that's gonna, like I said, maybe not the best quality, but certainly some compelling television. And then Baltimore, Cincinnati.
This is the one I was surprised at. Of all the picks that we made, this
one surprised
me. How could
you be surprised at me loving on John Harbaugh and the Ravens?
I know you love the Ravens. I know you love Harbaugh. We've given them their flowers for organizational competency and the coaching. I just think they're going to get killed. Cincinnati is just on a different talent level than them. Baltimore's only hope, and this is why we both have their pass rusher as our X factor, because if they don't get to Joe Burrow, it will get ugly.
But I definitely think they're going to get to Joe Burrow. I didn't get into the injuries, but already down Lyle Collins. Now, right guard Alex Kappa is out. He hurt his ankle last week.
Yeah.
It's getting ugly already for the Bengals.
I mean, he took 9 sacks last year in their first round playoff game that they won.
And still won. I understand that, but like the Titans in Jacksonville last weekend, John Harbaugh can maneuver and scheme up and just kind of
figure a way. They're going to be ready. And I'm not saying this game doesn't have the potential to be close, but yeah, I could see this being a 10-point game. You know, the question isn't, can Baltimore's defense, you know, do some good things? The question is, can they score when they have the
ball? Yeah, I know. I don't see any explosive plays from Tyler Huntley. I understand that. But he shouldn't give up the strip fumble to lose the damn thing like Josh Dobbs, too. You know, he's smart enough
right,
to take
no.
care
so,
of the thing.
So Baltimore is going to be competitive in this game only if they get pressure, they get turnovers, they get some special team stuff. Because it's just, I mean, if this is Tyler Huntley starting every drive, 25 or inside is 25, forget it.
Well, that was the last point that I wrote down was, if Baltimore defense has any playmakers, any playmaking, they need to bring that, and the Cincinnati Bengals protection can let them bring it.
That's why when I looked at it, I'm like, I'm going to the old dog, and so did you. So you know what? We do this at least once every postseason.
Yeah.
Where somehow on a 53-man roster, we pick the same X factor.
I swear, I looked up and down at all those. They got a bunch of edge rushers. They got some young pups, too. And, I just happened to pick JPP, and so did you.
I went with JPP because I'm like, they need the veteran. That's what you need. You need the old dog to get after the quarterback. Get it from the guy that you don't necessarily expect it from, like the guy who's long in the tooth, like the whole Eagles defense, you know.
I wrote
get from those guys.
3 sacks this year, but veteran leadership. That's why I picked him as my X factor. We picked him for the same reasons too. So there you go.
Yeah, because if he can get to Burrow twice, I mean, they could. Who knows? They could get to Burrow 7, 8, 9 times if they really wanted to. But that also leads to the other side, which is you got to help Burrow out. Cincinnati's got to be able to run the ball, and I don't know what the hell's going on with Joe Mixon. You want to talk about heckle and jide? He's had some of the greatest games we've ever seen from a running – that he just ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no reason for the Bengals to have ranked 29th in running this year.
There's a stretch there where they were running out Samaje Perine.
Right.
More effectively. When Mixon came back, they were still using Perine in the mix.
Mm-hmm. No, if that's who's the hot hand, that's the hot hand. So,
that's right. It's the playoffs. Who cares? We're not here. We don't care about your hurt feelings in the playoffs.
Yeah, credit doesn't matter. Baltimore plus 35 on the year, Cincy plus 96. I didn't give the other plus minuses. And Dallas-Tampa, the other reason that kind of swayed me, Dallas plus 125 for all of their faults, Tampa minus 45.
Jesus Christ, that's a playoff team.
That's your division champs.
Is a playoff, that's just obscene.
The NFC South champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Whereas you got the Lions at 9-8 sitting on their couches, plus 26.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the NFC ends up with 3 teams with a negative point differential. The AFC only had 1. That's the Dolphins were only minus 2. They're not only minus 2, they're minus 2.
See what you did there. I don't think that's ever happened. I don't think we've seen a weekend, a playoff weekend, with 4 teams underwater, but they're all in the playoffs.
No. Four different you know, games. And we usually overemphasize the you know, team with the losing record that makes the playoffs. I remember the year that the Seahawks did it was so rare because it was like the first time that it happened, and I had predicted that when we did our preview show that year. I said we're going to have a sub 500 division winner, which back then was like edgy.
Unheard of.
Now you just kind of expect
I'm sure I laughed at that.
Yeah, now you just kind of expect that one of the teams that gets in. And this is because when this happens because they went from the three divisions to four. That's why this happens.
Right.
And you're just going to have one division or two divisions that are so overweight, and then you're going to end up with that NFC South where you had one team at eight and all the others at seven.
No, you're absolutely right.
And so just mathematically works out that you're going to end up with these poor record division winners every once in a while. Thank God we were spared, what was it, that NFC East last year when we thought we'd have like a six-win division winner where it was going that way for a while.
Yeah.
Like you could have a team that won six games or seven games win the division. Thank God we didn't. It was bad enough when we had that seven. Was that 7-9, that Seattle team?
I think it was.
Because that's the only way back then you could have a losing record because otherwise you're 8-8. But still,
yes, we haven't had a 6-10, thankfully.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Might be on the horizon.
Yeah. If Tampa didn't get hot late, we could have had another 7 win. We could have had that 7-10 it would have been 8-9 Carolina if they had not choked away that game.
That's right. Steve Wilkes would have taken it would have been a second time that we'd ever seen a coach overcome the organization and bring his team into the playoffs after Sean McDermott in Buffalo.
Yeah, but every team in the NFC South, by the way, had a negative point differential.
Ugh.
The Bucs were also the worst of the four.
The champs.
Yeah, the champs. So, yeah, this season has been the we are living in the upside down, huh?
We really are. And it's just getting started. The playoffs begin tomorrow or today now. Of course, it's the playoffs. So it's still exciting. Still looking forward to it. Still can't wait to get home from work tomorrow and fire up the DVR and get started on playoff football because it's the playoffs.
Yeah. And, you know, and we disagree on three, but because the wild card weekend is so low leverage because it's the start, neither one of us is putting the other away this week.
No.
We disagree on three. We agreed on the first three, and we disagreed on the last three.
That's right. Well, settle in. Saturday and Sunday will be the calm before the storm, and then Sunday afternoon we start dueling, start duking it out.
Yeah, and then with next week being 3-point games, if we either one of us take one of these three games from the other, meaning the other person can only come up with a net one, that basically is less than a game difference going into a 3-point weekend. So that makes it fun.
Yeah. Next week,
that's my week.
It has been historically, but we'll see how it shakes out. I didn't have anything else I needed to get to. I just very, very briefly wanted to mention that I unfortunately had another bowling teammate perish.
A second one?
Well, a league mate, I should say. I think I said teammate, but I meant to say league mate. He wasn't on my team, but he was in the league. Yeah, Mike Anderson just had a massive coronary at his job, and he wasn't. I don't know how old he was, but he wasn't old. Like he might have been older than me, but he might have been my age. Like he wasn't overweight. He wasn't obese. I'll say that. He may have had a beer gut a little bit, but he wasn't some old guy waddling around. He was energetic. He was funny. He was the best damn bowler in the league. I think his average was like 212 or something like that.
Wow.
I was legitimately this close to asking him to be a doubles partner in a tournament up there at the alley that we're at, because he's the best damn bowler in the league. And then he drops dead, unfortunately. It was just unbelievable. So just to say, you never know. Just, you know, we all sometimes need that perspective. I was sort of on alert when the Damar Hamlin thing happened. I'd hate it when something like that happens and the talking heads get on TV and says, well, now this puts everything in perspective. Because my feeling is everything should be in perspective already. If it's not,
you shouldn't need like some sports player or celebrity to die. Like every time some celebrity dies, my mom sends me a text.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I don't care. People die all the time. But because well, I should care more because they were in a movie or something. No. And I don't, and that sounds cold, but no, you should, you know, it doesn't change anything for me. Even the Damar Hamlin thing, which is shocking and you hated to see it, it didn't make me think about life.
Right.
It made me think about him and his situation and hope he didn't die and hope I wake up the next morning and see he's dead. But it didn't make me, you know, I didn't go and hug my kids tighter that night.
Well, what's wrong with you?
I love you kids so much. There's a football player almost died.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, so, I'm with you.
I'm trying to sound callous. I'm just, you know.
Yeah. Was your mom texty and weepy over Lisa Marie last night?
I think I heard that from my wife, and it was just more in passing. I think my wife's kind of on that same wavelength as I am, where I don't need to, but she just saw it on something popped up, told me.
Right.
My mom actually didn't send me anything on that one.
Huh. Okay.
I'm shocked.
She'll get to it, I'm sure. But she's not listening right now because we're in the after show. My point is, it is not a put everything in perspective point. It's a you never know point. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
It's just live your life and do what you're going to do, but don't think that, you know, tomorrow is going to – I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that next week. You never know.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had a lot of things he wanted to do next week.
If you remember – boy, this is going back a long way, but Saturday Night Live when Eddie Murphy was on there.
That is
a long way. They did the whole episode about when Buck Week got shot.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Right. So, because it was like a take on with all, you know, like with the Reagan thing when he got shot, it was like a take on all of that. And it was with the slowed down camera. It was, but the whole episode was all about Buckwheat getting shot, and interspersed throughout this, this whole show is a fake commercial for a life insurance company. And I've always remembered this because their tagline in this commercial was, because you could die tomorrow. And throughout this whole episode, it was this life insurance. So the life insurance company's tagline was literally, because you could die tomorrow. And it was just very forced. It has always made me think of something like that, because it's like, well, first of all, it's true. But none of these places that advertise are going to be that blunt and obvious and truthful about something like that. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to scare you into buying insurance. So I always thought that was funny. That's what it reminds me of.
And apparently it wasn't working enough for the car industry, so now they made it legal or illegal for you to not have insurance.
Right.
So you don't have a choice.
Oh.
Don't get me started on car insurance. Don't get me started.
Well, it's been a good long show. We had some audio issues, and we filled a lot in that 2 hours.
I think we would have got everything in on time, if not for the water issues.
I thought we were going on a good pace, but yeah, when you have this 5 to 10 minute thing going back, yeah, that kind of like discombobulated us a little there.
Yeah, definitely.
You were doing your best trying to fill air, talking about that Packers Lions game, thinking that I couldn't be heard.
You were gone.
I could be heard the whole time. Yeah.
So that's going to be a fun listen back when I listen to that tomorrow.
I will be forwarding through that section. Got that little plus 30 seconds button. I'll be making good use of that.
All right. All right, so next weekend, same time, same place. Hopefully the connection issues will not be. Hey, you saved the show by texting me and telling me, hey, dumbass, get on the show as a guest.
Actually, I will give a shout out to my mother, because what prompted me to do that was the cue that she could still hear me.
Oh, okay.
So that told me that the problem might not be me, the problem might be you.
Yeah.
And that's why when I looked up on the board, and that's where it really helped, was me being in the studio and seeing that you were just in as the host. And then that's why I was like, well, just try the invite link. And it worked.
And then both worked.
Apparently, I'm the Blog Talk Radio IT guy now.
You should be making an extra salary for that.
I should. That's a few times I've bailed us out of stuff this year.
Yeah, we're paying them for the privilege, and then
right?
you're working tech as well as the show. So I'm the producer, you're the technician, and we're doing everything right now, and we're paying for the privilege. That's awesome.
Right, and we're the hosts. It's great. We do it all.
We do it all. All right. It's been a very long day, so we are about wrapped up and finished now.
I'm going to be up for work in 5.5 hours.
And I'll be up sooner than that, 4 hours, 5 hours.
Oh, great. There we go.
Yeah. All right. Next Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Are you like the extra hour Friday?
Next week, let's do 10, because then we're done with Saturdays.
Yes.
I mean, with Saturday games, and then we can get back to doing Saturdays at 9.
Unless we decide to do Sunday for the conference finals, which we discussed.
That's true, which I'll be around for. So we could always do that on the fly. Yeah, let's do Friday at 10 one last time for old times.
Okay. Here we go. Same time, definitely same time, same place next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, for our wild card recap and our getting ready for the divisional round, getting our picks in for that, and a lot better quality football on deck. Even though there's only two teams on bye, those two teams, when they play, will up the quality of football precipitously with the Eagles and the Chiefs. So definitely looking forward to that. All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. Hey, I got it right. And this has been, in much less detail, the podcast, at least for 2 hours and whatever minutes of it, not the 5 minutes that we were talking around each other, even though we were both connected. So we will see you next Friday. Enjoy your playoff football that gets started tomorrow or later today, depending on where you are when you hear this show. And we will talk to you next Friday night.